From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 16th day of April 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Dave Dickey will have a look at the agricultural news. Drew Lerner will take us through the weather forecast and look back at those really cool temperatures in the Great Plains states and the impact on the wheat and the growing prospects there as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's take the time now to take a look at what happened in Chicago from the CME Group on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures finished like this for the day. The May contract in the soft red winter wheat, 13¾ cents lower, $6.88 settlement price. July at $6.95¼, down 14½. The hard red July in the soft and the hard red at 10¾ lower, $7.60¾. May corn futures, $4.97½, down 6¼ for the afternoon. July at $5.03½, 6¼ lower. And September at $5.75, down 5½ cents. December at $4.99, down 4¼. And the March corn, $5.06½ for next year. That's the 2015, down 4 cents. May futures of 2015 at $5.12, down 3¾. And let's go all the way out to the December 2015 at $4.94. That's down 2¾. Not for the new crop corn this year, but for the next year. May corn, or rather May soybean futures, $15.18¾. It gained today, up 17½ cents. July at $15.08¾, up 21¼. In August, $14.24, 14½ cents higher. September at $12.99¾, up 9¼. November beans, $12.37¼, 8¼ higher. January futures there at $12.42¼, up 8¼ cents. Bean meal at $4.91, 3.60 higher. Bean oil at $43.71. That finished up 88 cents on the day. Live cattle futures in the April at $145.75, up 47½ cents. June futures $135.62½, up 20. April feeder cattle at $179.25, 2½ cents higher. May futures at $179.90, up 12½ cents. And August contracted $182.97½, and the feeders up 40 cents. And lean hogs finished the June at $123.77½, $1.25 higher. Let's check the outside markets at this hour and see how they're faring. Crude oil futures, nearby May contract, $103.75 a barrel, unchanged. Arbob gasoline, or the wholesale price, just about a tenth of a cent lower, or rather a half of a tenth of a cent lower, at $3.03 and 6 cents. And ethanol futures at $2.17 and 2 cents. That's down 9 3 cents. The difference between the two is now 86¼ of a cent wide. That's the spread. It's 8 7 cents wider than it was yesterday. And natural gas at $4.53 and 3 cents, down 3 4 cents. Diesel fuel at $3.01, up 2 4 cents. And gold futures on the day up $3.20 at $1,303.20 an ounce. U.S. dollar at 78, or rather 79.8. That's up 0.01 for the day. The weather forecast in the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says we'll see sunny skies with a high of 56 degrees. Should be breezy on the afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy at a low of 38. A south-southeast wind at 10 to 16 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 25. And then on Thursday, partly sunny skies and the high of 63. South winds will continue at 10 to 13 miles an hour. Thursday evening, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 45 degrees. And Friday, a 30% chance of showers before 1 in the afternoon. Partly sunny with a high of 61 degrees, partly cloudy on Friday evening and 37. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 62. Saturday evening, partly cloudy and 44. Sunday, partly sunny skies and 68. And Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 49. On Monday, to start the work week, showers, mostly cloudy and 65. Clear on Monday evening and 46. And Tuesday, sunny skies. Oh, there she is, 70 degrees on Tuesday of next week. We'll get back into spring as soon as we possibly can. More on the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. This is the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, on the 16th day of April, let's turn to the marketplace and talk about it a bit, as we always do on a Wednesday, with Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson, right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, hi, Todd.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. How about you?
No, I'm doing really well. There are some things we probably ought to talk about. I think China is on the list for everybody, trying to figure out how long they can sustain the import of soybeans, what really difference it makes. Beans were a gainer again today in Chicago.
No, they definitely were. Well, you know, I think that that was definitely supported by the fact that the GDP for China came out at 7.4%. You know, it's below their target for this year, 7.5, and it really is the slowest pace we've seen in the last 18 months. And yet, if you look back 18 months, basically, you know, it's been between 7.4 and about 7.8. So I think the world was really very much relieved, and so were the bean traders. You know, they decided that they were going to get right in there and start to support everything all over again.
And speaking of support, in Washington, D.C., it appears, well, at least they're not saying they're going to pull support at this point.
No, Fed chairperson Yellen was just, she was really very evasive today, you know, on any definite moves they were, where they were making. There were a lot of questions being asked as to whether or not they were going to tie it to unemployment and everything else, and she really didn't give any good, solid answers. So I guess that just says to us that nothing has changed enough either way for them to be able to change what they're currently doing.
So one more item before we get back into the commodity markets for grains and oil seeds, to kind of set the tone across those places, is that, in crude, we made some new highs today.
Oh, wow. Yes. It was pretty interesting. May hit 104.99 for a new contract high. But the minute that we saw the GDP come out for China, we backed off, and we still had a nice, you know, it was an okay day, but we just ended up steady, you know, and just kind of even trading a little bit lower as of the moment. But, you know, it was still a situation where, boy, there's certainly a lot of positive thinking when it comes to the use of crude, I can tell you that much.
So I suppose we've set the stage now, which says China is doing better than some had expected. The price of crude oil is remaining very strong, mm-hmm. and that in Washington, D.C., it appears that while things aren't great, they're going to continue to pump money into the marketplace, whether you're for or against that. I don't know that that makes a difference, but it will be supportive, I think, right? It has mm-hmm. been, at least, of the marketplace. So now let's talk about that. That's kind of the underlying thing. So let's talk about what's really happening in the marketplace. And maybe we should begin with usage and what the livestock numbers look like. In particular, how PEDV is working through the system and if it will have an impact broader than availability of pork.
Well, I think, you know, it's very interesting that you ask about that, because when you look at PEDV, you know, everyone has assumed because we've lost, well, the USDA did come out and say now we've lost 6 to 7 million pigs over 30 states and parts of Canada and Mexico, and that's not a little amount. And yet, they're looking at production being down maybe 2%. Now, you look at how perception drives things. That's certainly not equal to cutout values being up 47% higher than they were last year at this time. And it's even, I don't think it's fair to think that we're going to lose a tremendous amount of usage either, because I do believe that the hog market is resilient and they can put on extra pounds, and we know that packers have been willing to allow them to do that. And so, you know, it'll all shake out, I guess, once we get another quarterly grain stocks report and we can actually see what's happening. But it isn't as if we lost these hogs and we totally lost the demand. That's not the case yet.
So the grain stocks due out not for quite some time, in the month of June, at the end of the month of June, in fact, if I remember correctly. So there's another fundamental. Hopefully we'll be looking forward to usage with the livestock sector remaining high and PEDV not having as much of an impact, because they'd be feeding the higher rates. The other thing is that Ukraine and Russia seem to at loggerheads and continue to be there.
Wow, it just continues to get more messy all the time. Today we had some Russians commandeer a bunch of Ukrainian army vehicles and or armored vehicles, you know, and they actually put Russian flags on them. And yet at the same time, exports just continue to flow out of that country, you know, so we don't know if there's going to be more sanctions. And probably the bigger question is, you know, are they going to be able to plant the way they normally would? And, you know, and in light of the fellow that wrote you on Twitter and said they were asking to use farm vehicles, you know, for the military to move people around,
right.
You know, if something would really break out there, then that would certainly put a damper on it, as well as the fact that their currency has been hit very, very hard. But it just continues to lay in the background and drive the market. Yesterday we're hearing all kinds of things about a plane shot down, and wheat goes up like wild, and today wheat goes down, you know. And so it's going to continue to be there, and until we finally find out what's going to happen there, it'll just be always in the background.
Hey, speaking of wheat, we're still trying to assess how much of a problem we had with the cold weather earlier in the week and what that might mean to the Great Plains and the hard red winter wheat areas and whether there was much damage. But that cold extended way deep into the southwestern United States, parts of Texas, Oklahoma, but even into the Delta region, I think.
It did, and, you know, I was surprised. I talked to one of our Mississippi farmers this afternoon, shortly after lunch, and they actually had frost down there today. And you know, his export market is the export market, so, you know, that tells you how far south he really is. But, you know, I asked him, I said, okay, so where are you at? And he said, well, to be honest, Jackie, he said, it's not uncommon for us to have a frost like this, you know, occasionally. And he said last year he planted corn as late as April 20th, and those fields yielded over 200 bushel to the acre. He's only got 20% of his beans planted right now, so he's got 4,500 acres total. And I said, well, are you concerned? And he said, no. He said the land is in excellent condition, and all we need to do is go, and we're going to be doing that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much we plant, you know, with our number for next week. Are we going to be 5% planted on corn? Or are we going to be higher than that? And I really think in talking to guys today, you know, everybody's working on planters and just chomping at the bit. So I think once we get past Easter, and like you said, I heard 70 degrees for next week Tuesday, if the rain isn't too severe, we'll be going in earnest. There's no question about it.
Does it mean that we have an awful lot of risk built into the marketplace that could disappear really fast?
There's no question about that. And the biggest risk, I think, when you look at it, is the fund positions. You know, as of this morning, funds were long 268,000 corn. That's 26,000 less than they were on the day of last week's report. But still an extremely long position, 188,000 beans, that's 5,000 less. But the one that's interesting is wheat. They were 55,500 long as of this morning, 10,000 higher than a week ago. And all of these numbers are the longest we've ever seen going into a planting season. When we've hit high fund long positions, it's always been beyond the planting season. And so you bet. It says that there's a lot of risk premium in this marketplace. And people had better be on the ball because, well, just like today, you know, you saw the wheat market just crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, losses were 10 to 14 cents, but you multiply that over a few days and you have a huge loss going on. So be prepared.
December corn at $4.99 today. It did make 503 and three quarters.
It was disappointing to see both May and December close below $5 today, and yet, you know, that's coming somewhat because of the idea that we're going to be able to plant more. Some of it was based a little bit, I think, on old crop corn anyway. They're going to wait to see what the export sales are for tomorrow. And when you look at the big picture, the May contract just needs to hold 486 to keep the weekly uptrend intact, and December 483. So you know, we're still in a pretty good place. One of the things I think that causes also is because ethanol production was up for this week. It actually used 98.6 million bushels, but we need to average 98.475 just to meet the USDA expectations. So there's concern there, too, because that'll have an impact on the balance sheet.
Hey, one more thing I need you to take up, and that's soybean exports. Is the price high enough yet to slow that thing down?
I don't think so. I at least, you know, tomorrow we have export numbers out, and of course we'll be looking, but that was last week's exports. We really won't know until next week, Thursday. And we need to do something. There's no question. It may happen on its own. You know, China has that problem with avian flu, and so they don't have as much of a need as they did before. And the Brazilian farmer has really picked up on selling, so that'll put kind of a damper on it. But May just needs to hold above 1460 to still be in a very positive position. And, you know, Novi did pretty well, put in a new nearby high today at 1238.75. So I think, you know, NOPA crush, the tight supplies, fund buying, and corn planting all support beans right at this point in time.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vanks is at Stuart Peterson, joins us here on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. In a moment, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be here with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is considering a proposal under which hog farmers would be required to report cases of PED virus found in their herds as a way to help track and isolate the disease. Currently, there is no mandatory requirement for producers to report PED cases. Representatives of the American Association of Swine Veterinarians have been meeting with USDA veterinarians on the issue. The National Animal Health Laboratory Network is tracking and reporting on PED virus. Its latest findings show that there are 257 positive cases out of 882 tested at 8 diagnostic labs for the week ending April 5th. The current number of states with a confirmed case of PED virus stands at 30. The Government Accountability Office appears to have confirmed one of the major complaints of oil refiners with regard to the nation's mandatory renewable fuels standard. The late announcement of how many gallons must be blended into gasoline supplies each year. The GAO says for 2013, the Environmental Protection Agency did not get around to announcing the RFS for the year until August, thus increasing costs for refiners. GAO found the RFS has contributed to increased costs for some refiners in the first half of 2013. However, GAO also found those costs have declined for refiners since last year. CHS Incorporated, an energy, grains, and food company, is building 4.2 million gallons of storage capacity for propane across the upper Midwest to help mitigate propane shortages that plagued the U.S. this past winter. The CHS Northern Tier projects will operate around the clock with each facility to be capable of offloading 6 rail cars every 4.5 hours and to load 6 trucks per hour at 2 truck bays. Plans are to have all 5 terminals online by September 1st before this year's harvest. Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart today projects that the Federal Reserve will likely not begin raising interest rates until the second half of 2015, as it waits for confirmation that its forecasts for stronger U.S. economic growth bear out. Lockhart will be a voter next year on the policy-setting Federal Open Market Committee. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address, you know it already, but I'll give it to you one more time, willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know, farmers are going to the field this spring feeling, well, a lot better about the price of corn. I'll have more on the reasons why things have gone from dire, well, to acceptable. When the corn planters roll in force across the Midwest this spring, their owners will be far more optimistic than just a few months ago. Late in December, the market for corn looked to be truly tanking. However, demand for the grain has been strong, and it looks to stay strong enough to use up the better part of a big crop that was harvested last fall. Strong demand has caused USDA to lower the projected number of leftover bushels. It's down for 5 months running. Notes University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Continues a multi-month process of lowering that projected year-ending stocks down to a very reasonable level now, not nearly as burdensome as what we thought it would be last fall.
Compared to usage projections made in November, current projections are 100 million bushels larger for corn used for ethanol production, 350 million bushels larger for exports, and 100 million bushels larger in the feed and residual category. It leaves about 1.35 billion bushels in the bin. That's called the carryout, or the ending stocks figure, and impacts how much corn USDA will project to be left in the bin 18 months from now, too.
And I would guess that they're going to project only a modest buildup in corn inventories next year. So that suggests corn prices next year could challenge what we saw this year, something in the low to mid $4 range. The market currently is above that, I think, as it's probably factoring in some production risk here with the late spring we're experiencing. But again, I would not expect to see a forecast of sharply lower corn prices for the next marketing year.
Well, the whole thing is a moving target, but right now it appears to be pointing to a bit higher season's average cash corn price for this year and one next year that could be about the same. Both those figures are higher than would have been projected late last fall. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market for the afternoon. Tara Dynas is on the phone line with us, formerly Oliver, from the Andersons in Logansport, Indiana. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So tell me about the marketplace for the day.
Certainly has been a bit interesting. Obviously, the future side of things has been very volatile here the past couple days. Basis has been very steady in our area, and a lot of plants are actually starting to get close to full, which is a good sign, especially as everybody is about to head to the fields.
How about the soybean processors?
Soybean processors are very anxious for beans. They're kind of on the opposite side of things here, not filling their space quite yet. Values, you know, around the 60 over range seem to be trading in a lot of the areas to the processors. And with cash prices getting higher and higher, they're still not seeing a lot of movement. So just tells you how scarce the beans are.
Folks scratching the earth there that yet in your area?
Trying to. We've had a few in this area, getting out, doing some field work. Not a lot of planting activity taking place. Hearing of just a few that are south, closer towards the Lafayette area that may be getting in the fields, but likely the expectation will be by the end of this week and this weekend we should have some people with wheels turning.
And your bids for the day?
Cash price at Delphi tonight on corn was 484, at Climbers was 486, and then beans into Delphi are at 1539.
Thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara Dynas is with the Anderson. She's in Logansport, Indiana. We'll back in 2 minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Eggs Benedict Day. There are differing accounts of the origin of Eggs Benedict, but the most likely origin comes from Elizabeth David's French Provincial Cookbook, where she describes a puree of refreshed salt cod and potatoes spread on triangles of fried bread and topped with a poached egg and hollandaise. It's also St. Magnus Day, He is the patron saint of fishmongers. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Thomas Blanchard died. An American inventor, Blanchard made major contributions to the development of machine tools. At age 13, he developed an apple paring machine. Eventually, he invented the famous lathe that bears his name. The lathe can turn irregular forms, and it revolutionized a number of industries. In 1880, Donald Forsha Jones was born. Jones was an American geneticist and agronomist who experimented with corn. In 1917, he invented the double-cross method of hybrid seed production, which solved a problem in producing useful uniform strains, while at the same time increasing yield and vigor. And in 1941, the original Elsie the Cow died. Elsie the Cow was originally a cartoon character appearing in ads for Borden Milk. At the 1939 New York World's Fair, when people began asking where Elsie was, Borden's picked a cow originally named Yule Du Lobelia from their herd to be Elsie. Elsie starred in commercials, made personal appearances, and even starred in an RKO movie, Little Men. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. It looks like the weather's going to get a little better. It's going to stay cool, Drew, but I'll bet farmers will be in the field sooner than later. Can they stay there?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll probably be able to be in there quite often. There's going to be some brief interruptions, but I think this next 10 days or so looks very good for Midwest field progress. Now, I say that knowing full well that we're going to have a couple of disturbances. The first one coming out across the region over the weekend, and we'll see quite a bit of shower and thunderstorm activity coming first from Kansas and working its way across Missouri, Illinois, and eventually into Michigan and Ohio. So that will occur over the weekend itself, and we'll probably see enough precipitation come out of that event that we'll be out of the fields for a day, maybe a day and a half. The rain totals are probably run a quarter to three quarters of an inch. There could be something a little bit greater in a handful of counties scattered about. But I think for all practical purposes, with temperatures probably in the 70s or maybe 60s and 70s through a big part of the late weekend and all of next week, that we should see a fair amount of drying behind the precipitation event. And our best drying conditions of all this first week of the outlook will occur during the work week next week, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, I guess, in the Western Belt, and probably into Friday in the East. So there'll be a few showers around, but it really is going to be a good opportunity. If we aren't making some substantial progress by this time next week, it'll be because something went wrong with the weather department, I think.
Speaking of things going wrong with the weather department, did you take a look back, I know you did, at the lows overnight in the Great Plains states, the hard red winter wheat growing regions earlier in the week to see if and where damage may have occurred?
Absolutely. It was a very cold morning yesterday across hard red winter wheat country, and there will be damage coming out of the region. There has been damage, I guess I should say. The problem is we don't know how to assess it in a complete manner until the harvest is in. And the interesting thing is that it's going to be very difficult to separate out the freeze from the drought damage and from the winter kill that occurred during the heart of winter. It's just going to be a little bit more injury. The area that was probably most vulnerable to losses were down in Texas, in the west central part of Texas. There's several counties there that are fairly important wheat producers, and the temperatures down there got into some upper teens and 20s yesterday morning, and that's just too darn cold. And the crops are further advanced down there in that area than in the rest of wheat country. So a little bit of loss there for sure. It may not be a huge number, but it's just one more tick against the crop with all the problems we've had so far this year.
Look around the other parts of the world. What do you see?
Well, you know, in other places, things are really going very well. I think China is off to a roaring start this year. Their wheat and rapeseed are developing extremely well. The corn planting pace has got to be way ahead of itself. It's been so warm and so pleasant over there for the past two or three weeks that they should be way ahead of the game. India crops are doing okay. Looks like Australia's finally got back to a little dry weather mode. Now, they got some significant rain earlier this month than last, and help to improve the soil moisture for pre-planting needs in canola, wheat, and barley country. Planting season starts this week and will continue through June, so the next few weeks will be very important for that part of the world, especially since El Nino is breathing down their necks, and El Nino usually creates a drought in the eastern part of Australia.
Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.